Thank you, Brittany. Well, I think we'll probably sing that tonight. Amen. Turn the tide. Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll read a few verses here. I don't know what. Had some allergy attack last night or something, and I can't get my throat to stay clear. Would you stand with me one more time, please, out of love and respect for the Bible as I read here, beginning in verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There's a spirit that is working now, amen, as we speak. Among whom also we all, there are no exceptions there, all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But, amen, God, in verse 4, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, amen, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Verse 11, wherefore remember. Wherefore remember. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for Jesus. Lord, we're so thankful for America. As we sing these songs, my heart is stirred, Lord, and as I remember, Father, as I know the history of our country, and I know the absolute impossibility it was, Lord, for us to overpower the British Empire and win, Lord God, our liberty in battle. But Lord, it was all because of men of God who loved you, who trusted you, who knew that it was your will for them and their families, Lord, to sacrifice themselves, who loved you and your mercy more than their own lives. Father, I thank you for America. I thank you that I could be an American. I thank you that I can live here in this nation. Lord, help us as Christians this morning to remember, Father, the reason that we have what we have. Bless the message. Lord, use me, I pray. Fill me with your spirit. Speak to our hearts. Encourage your people, those that are here this morning. Encourage them, Lord, to stay faithful. Encourage them, Father, to never forget what God, what you have done for them and for all of us here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. All of those things were written in the first 10 verses, and then he says, wherefore, or based on all of those things, remember. Amen. Remember. I want you to remember with me a few things this morning. Mainly, I want you to remember God's grace. God's grace. That's really what I want to, on Memorial Day weekend, as I mentioned here in Sunday school, we're challenged, right? We're challenged and we're reminded, amen, in our country pauses for a weekend, a day, especially tomorrow, and to remind us to remember, amen, to remind us to remember the fallen heroes of our country. Thank God our country is still a free country. Thank God America is still free. We still celebrate freedoms that we have and celebrate the memory of those, listen, who fought and died. Freedom is not free. Freedom is not free. And we, the men and women who fought and died and gave us these freedoms, some, amen, some gave all. All have given some, I believe, in, as you look at the history, but some gave all. And a free country is a great thing. I mean, thank God for a free country. Thank God for freedom to live, as I mentioned, as one chooses within the confines, obviously, of order and safety. Thank God for a free country. Let me say this, so we ought to be more thankful and understand that Bible salvation. Amen. Bible salvation is still, however, the grandest and greatest thing that could ever happen to an individual. And listen, that's what makes America great, is God's grace. God's grace worked in people's hearts. God's grace worked in people's lives. And God's grace moved people to give us an America that we have today. I believe, listen, everything we have is by grace through faith. Look what it says again in verse 8. By grace are you saved through faith. Now listen, that's a good spiritual application. I'm saved. I'm born again. But let's not forget about the historical application in our country. By grace are you saved from British tyranny. Amen. By grace are you saved from the British Empire. By grace are you saved from the Church of England. Amen. By grace are you saved from that taxation without representation. By grace are you saved. But listen, through faith. Amen. Amen. Through faith. God's grace, listen to me, God's grace produces faith in our hearts. God's grace produces a life and gives us a desire to live by faith. Amen. It really does. And but therefore, I think, we sing the song, Oh, for grace to trust thee more, right? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. Amen. Just to know that thou art with me. Oh, and it is, oh, for grace to trust thee more. Oh, for more grace, listen to me. More grace is more strength, more of God, more of his presence. But God's grace is what gives us faith. God's grace, and I think we need to remember God's grace this morning. Hallelujah. Bible salvation, listen, Bible salvation is just like our country. Bible salvation is also freedom. Amen. It's freedom. The truth has made us free. Listen, now, it doesn't say set us free. And there's a very big difference between being set free and being made free. Being set free is a temporary condition. It's an external condition. Being made free means I am a new person. I'm changed. Amen. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I am made free. And that's the truth that's made me free. We have freedom from the penalty of sin. And listen, you understand, we're never going to see the flames of hell if you're saved this morning. You're never even going to become close. You're never even going to smell the smoke, amen, of the flames of hell. We've been set free, made free from the penalty of sin. We've also been made free from the power of sin. Sin shall have no more dominion over us. Praise God. We don't have to worry about whether or not we can overcome sin. There's no question anymore. By the grace of God, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Amen. Even our faith, which came from the grace of God, our faith. We've been free from the penalty of sin, free from the power of sin. And listen to me, one day, oh hallelujah, one glorious day, we're going to be free forever from the very presence of all sin forever. In heaven. No more sin around us. I mentioned earlier, you see bumper stickers that are very offensive. You see billboards that are just absolutely vulgar. You see things on people's houses and on people's bodies and tattoos and other. You see things all over. You hear things that are vulgar and reprehensible. They're disgusting. But listen to me. It still reminds me, hey, that this is a free country. Amen. It still reminds me that this is a free country. And understand something. We can thank God for the freedoms that we have, but one day it's all going to be gone. The presence of all of that evil, the presence of all of that sin and those things that we have to continually see and hear and be subjected to is going to be gone. Amen. God is going to live there with us. God is going to dwell with his people in the presence of that city of glory and light. Amen. Where Jesus is the light forever. No night, no more day. Amen. All, no more sunlight, no more burning. Amen. It's all Jesus. Just the glorious light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to light that place. Amen. The gates of pearl. Amen. The streets of gold. The mansions. And one thing about it though, yes, Jesus is there. Yes, the Savior is there. There's no more sin. Amen. And the only reason that we're going to be there and free from that presence of sin forever is because of the grace of God. Amen. The grace of God. Salvation changes everything in a person's life. Anyone who has this freedom in salvation is ecstatic, is thrilled, is overjoyed.
Amen.
Or they should be.
Amen.
They should be. Now I ask you this. Just think about it with me this morning.
Amen.
Why would a person who has been saved, who has been rescued, delivered, born again, cleansed, made whole, redeemed, reconciled unto God, ransomed and restored forever. Why would that person not be thrilled about it every second of their life? Understand, listen, the answer is this. We sometimes forget God's grace. We're all there. Look again in verse 5 with me real quick. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Notice the parentheses. In your King James Bible, there's a parenthesis there. By grace ye are saved. If you have the same Bible I do, it looks like a smiley face with a wink there. See that? That is that what that's supposed to be? That's exactly what that's supposed to be, amen? That's God saying, don't forget my grace. And he smiles and winks at you. Listen, God is trying to remind us. See, a parenthesis there helps us remember. It's like God is inserting that parenthesis in that verse as an emphasis. He's trying to emphasize the point that we were dead, but it's the grace of God that's quickened us, that made us alive in Christ Jesus. It's by grace, amen? Why is that such a big deal? Because grace was our only hope. Don't forget this morning. Grace was our only hope. God's grace was our only way to salvation. God's grace was our only hope to be made free. When I was condemned and bound for hell, God's grace stepped in, amen? And I was utterly unable to do anything about my sinful condition. I was condemned. I was in sin. I was in chains and bondage. But God's grace walked in, hallelujah. Jesus took my place and made me free.
Amen.
Made me, and it was, listen, understand something. Think about this for a minute. Jesus died for all the sins of all the world. That doesn't leave anybody out. That doesn't exclude anybody. It doesn't matter what they've done. It doesn't matter where they're from. It doesn't matter who they are, what they're doing right now. God's sin, God's grace through Jesus Christ, his blood, has atoned for every sin of every sinner of all the world. Everyone's sins are paid for. So why do people still go to hell? It's not because of sin.
Right.
Their sins are paid for.
Amen.
The people go to hell because they reject the one who paid for their sins.
Right.
People go, listen, there are millions of people in hell right now, and many more will be there, unfortunately, not because they sinned too much, not because they sinned beyond God's grace. Where sin abounded, grace, amen, did much more abound. And so the people that are in hell, not because they sinned too much, not because there wasn't an opportunity, not because they refused the payment for their sins, they refused the one who died. They will die and go to hell because they died as a son of Satan instead of a son of God.
Amen.
There's nobody in hell today because of too much sin that God couldn't fix. There's nobody alive today with too much sin in their heart that God can't fix. There's nobody alive today with too much going on and brokenness in their hearts and lives that God can't put back together.
Amen.
The only reason is that people reject this grace. People reject it. You understand? I'm trying to make a point this morning of how great this grace really is, of how powerful this grace really is. God's grace was the only way to become a child of God. God's grace was the only way for me to become a living, walking, saved, born again sinner. But it was God's grace that made a way, and only God's grace. I want you to think about it with me this morning for a few minutes. A few things here that we need to remember about God's grace. Number one, God's grace saved me from my past. Look in verse 1. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's where we were. Dead in trespasses and sins. It doesn't matter, again, it doesn't matter who you were or where you were or where you came from or where you were going. You were dead in trespasses and sins. Look again in verse 2. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. You understand, the course of this world is what causes the pain in this world. The course of this world is what brings disgrace and shame upon the name of God. The course of this world is what breaks hearts and lives and marriages and families and destroys children and set the course of this world. But the Bible says we were walking according to that same course. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Remember who you were. Listen, remember who you were before you got saved. Remember who you were. Listen, it says by nature in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation, our behavior in times past in the lust of our flesh. A lust is an illicit desire. It's a desire that you should not have. It's a desire that goes against God. It goes against His Word. It goes against His will. And the Bible says we all had our conversation. All that we did was whatever we wanted to do that was against God. All that we did, we fulfilled the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You see, we just many times, we forget about how bad we really were. We forget about how bad, but understand something. We had no hope because we were dead in those sins. We were spiritually dead in those sins. We were walking around in death, in desires of the flesh, by nature, the children of wrath. What does that mean? The wrath of God was already abiding on us. It wasn't a matter. It wasn't a matter of me maybe getting out of it. It was a matter of I'm a child of disobedience. I'm a child of darkness. I'm a child of wrath. I'm a child of the world. I'm a child of Satan. And God's grace stopped me. Listen, God's grace stopped me from further making a fool of myself. God's grace stopped me from living such a wasted life. Do you see that there's three verses there that describe one word, waste. A wasted life, a wasted meaning, a wasted human being, just living according to the course of this world in darkness and wrath and death and sins, trespasses. And they have, listen, what hope do they have? How can that person ever save themselves? That's impossible.
Amen. Right.
Because they're dead.
Amen.
But God's grace, amen, saved me. God's grace saved me from the wrath of God. God's grace saved me from the darkness and death and disobedience and despair and disgrace and disgust, amen, of my past.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I'm thankful for God's grace.
Amen.
And God's grace saving me from my past.
Amen.
God's grace saved me from the power of Satan, number two. Look at verse 2 again. Wherein in time past you walked according to this course, the course of this world, according to the prince of the what? Power of the air. The air, spiritual speaking. We're talking about a spiritual power here. In the same book in chapter 6, God calls it spiritual wickedness in high places. Power, folks. The prince of the power of the air. That's Satan. That's Lucifer. And listen, all that I was doing was walking according to his desires. All that you were doing before God's grace stepped in was walking according to the prince and the power of the air. That evil spiritual power. That power, listen, that I had no way. There's no way I could overcome that power. There's still no way I can overcome that power in my own strength. God's grace has saved me from the power of Satan himself. You understand, we were so completely hopeless and helpless. That's the point I'm trying to make here. Verse 4. But God, amen. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Well, that's a tremendous verse. You ought to mark that. You ought to memorize that. You ought to get that deep down in your soul. Amen. God's grace, number 3, saved me by his great power. You see, I had a past, and I was living under the power of Satan, but God's grace saved me by his great power. The power, listen, look at it in verse 4 again. The power of God's grace, listen, is his great love. God, who is rich in mercy, for what? For his great love, or because of his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ by grace. The power, listen to me, the power behind the grace is God's love.
Amen.
The power behind the grace that saved me, the power behind the grace that changed me, the power behind the grace that has converted my life, the power behind the grace that has made me free from the power of sin and Satan, the power that has set me free from the disgrace and shame is God's love. The grace of God is driven and motivated and works because the power of God's great, notice, great love.
Amen.
The Bible emphasizes that word in verse 4. Rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. When did he love you like that? When you were still living in that sin.
Amen.
Think about that. When did he love me like that? When I was still making a fool of myself. When did he love me like that? When I was still a slave to Satan. When did he love me with such great love? When I was completely unlovable.
Amen.
See, God's grace is extended to us because, that's what the Bible is trying to say, it's rich in mercy, but it's because of his great love. It's a love beyond our understanding. It's a love beyond our comprehension. It's a great love. It's God's great love. He loved us, amen. He loved us. We loved him, yes, only because he first loved us.
Amen.
The power of God's grace is his love, folks, his great love. God is rich in mercy because of his great love. God's grace saves undeserving sinners because of his great love.
Amen.
When's the last time you really just stopped and remembered this grace? We don't remember it enough. God's grace saved me from my past. Boy, you know, I wasn't saved till I was 34. I lived the life. I mean, those verses, maybe you just can't remember, or maybe you got saved younger, and that's praise God for it. But verses 2 and 3 describe me shamefully to a T. Before I got saved. You talk about, when you read those verses, you all you see is a very selfish person who doesn't care what anybody else says or tries to do to help them. They are children of disobedience. You say, why are children so disobedient today? Hello? Because they're born that way. Verse 3, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, you know, and of the mind. You know what? Listen, it didn't matter how much it cost anybody around me. It didn't matter how much it hurt people that loved me. I was going to fulfill the desires of my flesh and my mind. And if you're honest with yourself, you were right there. But I'm not talking, I don't know. I'm talking about me right now. I was there. I know I was there. And it was only, listen, I was living the life of a fool. An absolute fool. Not because I had to. But because I had rejected and I did not appreciate and understand and accept God's grace. God's grace saved me from that past. I mean, I thank God. Notice it says, in times past you walked. That's past tense, amen? Past tense. God's grace saved me from that past. God's grace saved me from that power of Satan. God's grace has saved me by his great power of love. And I still don't know how to define that love other than just say it's as big as God is. It's as powerful as God is. It's as great as God is. It's as grand and glorious and majestic as God himself is. That's his great love wherewith he loved us. When did he love us? In that power, in that nasty flesh, wicked lifestyle. But notice number 4. God's grace also saved me, listen now, permanently.
Amen.
Permanently. Hallelujah. This is good stuff. Man, look in verse 6. Hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. You say, well, church is a good place to get together with the brethren. Amen. But heaven's going to be a constant, continual church service together. Amen. It raised us up together and made us sit together. Amen. So apparently, we get to sit in heaven. Glory to God. Maybe Jesus will be standing and doing all the preaching while we're sitting at his feet. That's fine, amen. He never gets tired in heaven. Neither do you, but praise God. Anyway, but the Bible's making a point here. Look in verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches, there's that word again, exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I love that. Listen, I'm in Christ. After God's grace reached me, after God's grace saved me from my past, the power of Satan, because of his great power of love, he has saved me permanently and put me in Christ Jesus. In other words, I am flesh of his flesh and bone of his bones. I am part of him now. He is in me and I am in him. And you understand that I'm already seated in heavenly places. You say, when you get saved, you're already as good as there. That means, listen to me, that means it's never going to be taken away. It's never going to go away. You can't give it back. You're already there, amen. It's already part of you. You're already part of heaven. And the Bible says in verse 7, in the ages to come, well, how many ages? All the ages. And that means in every age, that means in every era, in every epoch, in every time of every world, every whatever God has planned for the future of eternity, we're going to be there, and he's going to be showing us more grace through his kindness because we're in Christ.
Amen.
But God's grace has made me and saved me and made me free permanently. I'm already there. All the ages, think about that, all eternity. We can't even understand that. But God will show me, notice in verse 7 again, I love this, the exceeding riches of his grace. What more could there be? I want you to think about that. Because it says he's going to show us the exceeding riches of his grace. Exceeding means more than there is now. It exceeds what we already have.
Amen.
Think about that. I don't know how to think about that, preacher. I don't either. But I want you to understand, that's what God's trying to say. There's so much more waiting for you. So much more waiting for us. I mean, heaven, the Bible says, eye hath not seen, neither hath entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. We do not know what these exceeding riches of his grace, the Bible says, he's going to show them to us. Not just tell us. Not just hear about it. We're going to see something more. They said, well, we're going to see heaven. I understand that, but this verse makes us think a little bit, amen, and makes us realize, hey, there's going to be more of God's grace in heaven than we even understand. He said, well, can it be more than salvation? Can it be more than making me free from sin? Can it be more than giving me a love and rich grace? Well, apparently it can be. Apparently that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or even what? Think. And this says he's going to show the exceeding riches. I don't know. My dad used to like to talk about heaven. And my brother died when he was 28, young. He was my older brother, so my dad's first son. And when he passed away, my dad was always studying heaven, studying what heaven was going to be like, because he was trying to figure out where my brother was and what was going on, and what my brother was involved. Because there's a lot of scriptures that we just don't understand completely. We're going to be in the presence of the Lord. Obviously, we're going to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. Yes, my dad used to always take verses like this, though. Maybe he could be right. I don't know, but the Bible says he's going to show us the exceeding riches of his grace. In all of eternity, we're going to see exceeding above what we even think about his grace. My dad used to always say, you know what? I think God might just give me a log cabin by the lake with my own float plane. And I could just fly in heaven as all I want to. And I could, because he always wanted to live in a log cabin, amen, in the woods by the lake with a plane in a fireplace and just live there. And he said, maybe God will allow me to live. And see, y'all's imagination's going now, see? Now, I didn't say this was going to happen. I'm just saying there's something in that verse that we just can't really completely understand.
Amen.
God is going to show us. In other words, he hasn't shown it to us yet. You see that? In the ages to come, in eternity, he's going to show us something he hasn't shown us yet. Now, again, I never really fully bought into that theory of my dad's. You know, but maybe God's going to look at me and when I get to heaven and say, "Oh, ye of little faith." I hope so. I would love to believe that. You know, I don't know if I would choose a log cabin or not, but sounds good to me right now, amen. Let's go.
Amen.
After church. After church tonight, amen. But seriously, I mean, there's something in this verse that we just don't know. In the ages to come, in eternity to come, he is going to show us the exceeding riches of his grace. Notice, in his kindness. So there's riches of grace and kindness and rich in mercy. I mean, think about that. Who are we talking? We're talking about God. We're talking about God showing us these things. The people that we just described in verses 2 and 3. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Are you understanding how great this grace is? I'm trying to get that point across to you this morning. How great this grace really is?
Amen.
Are you understanding how great this, I mean, how God in his great mercy, great grace, great love, exceeding richness of his grace, kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I mean, I don't know what that means. I just know one thing. I'm saved forever.
Amen.
I don't know what I'm going to see in heaven, but I'm going to see something that's going to be all, everything, by the way, everything I see in heaven from the very beginning of eternity, the very beginning of heaven, is going to be because of God's grace.
Amen.
You understand that? That's what I'm trying. He has saved me permanently. I am a permanent fixture in heaven already in Christ Jesus. That's the grace of God. Now, you tell me, dearly beloved, how could you have possibly ever earned that on your own?
Yeah, come on.
Based on verses 1, 2, and 3, that describes all of humanity. How could you have ever possibly even thought of earning this on your own? Now maybe the picture is coming into a little more focus, how great God's grace really is.
Amen.
The grace of God has saved me from my past, saved me from the power of Satan, saved me by his great power of love, has saved me permanently, dearly beloved. And God's grace, look in verse 8 now, saved me from my pride. So, preacher, that comes after the permanent. I want you to understand, in this scripture, verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Even knowing verses 1 through 7, knowing he saved me from my past, knowing he saved me from the power of Satan, knowing he saved me by his great power of love, knowing he saved me permanently by his grace, even with knowing all of that, amen, the biggest problem in my heart is still pride.
Amen.
I can still, in a moment's notice, get proud of my salvation.
Amen.
Selfish righteousness, vanity, pride can still creep in, dearly beloved. And that's why God is saying, listen now, don't forget. Because remember, he's already said it one time in verse 5. Remember the wink and smile, amen? He's already said it one time in verse 5. Why does he say it again? Because he said, wait a minute, you don't boast about this.
Amen.
You don't boast about what you've done.
Amen.
Because you know what? We could get so puffed up. Because we have a lot to be thankful for.
Amen.
We have a lot to look forward to. We have a lot to just get really excited about.
Amen.
The exceeding riches of His grace, man, showing it to us.
Thank you, Lord.
We have a lot to get excited about. But then we have to be real careful that we don't somehow forget that, hey, I didn't do this.
Yeah, cool.
I didn't do this. Verses 1, 2, and 3 is all I am.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Without Christ. Verses 1, 2, and 3 is all I ever will be or ever could be without grace.
Amen.
I'm embarrassed sometimes. And I don't know, maybe I'm the only one here, but I'm embarrassed sometimes of the pride that wells up in my heart.
Yes, sir.
This passage of Scripture always cuts me to the quick. Satan is Satan because of pride.
Amen.
Hell, listen to me, hell was created because of pride. Homes are destroyed. I'm talking about Christians now because remember, we're already saved.
Amen.
But he goes back in verse 8 and says, wait a minute, don't forget, it's because it's by grace. It's through faith, but it's not of yourself. You didn't even have the faith. It's not of works. Homes are destroyed. Christian homes are destroyed because of pride. Because they forget, hey listen, they forget the grace. They forget where they were. Christian homes, hearts, listen, hearts are deceived because of pride. Deceived into believing something that's not true. Deceived into believing, hey, I could probably do this on my own better. Families are devoured because of pride. I'm talking about Christian families. Lives are wasted because of pride. The only thing that's going to keep me from that pride is the grace of God. The only thing that's going to keep me from that pride is remembering
Amen.
This grace.
Amen.
The only thing that gave us a country, folks, amen, those people that came over on that Mayflower, those pilgrims, listen to me, the only thing that made them different was the grace of God. They were sinners in 1, 2, and 3 just like everybody. You understand that, right? The only thing that made them desire a free country and to serve God was the grace of God. The only thing that made them understand, hey, I need God and this country needs to turn from sin to righteousness is the grace of God. But our pride creeps in when we don't even expect it and we forget about the grace and we start thinking about how much I've accomplished and how much I've grown, or how much I know about the Bible, or how families, lives are destroyed and they're wasted because listen to me, when I do something, even if I'm doing it for God, when I'm doing it out of pride,
Amen.
It profits me nothing.
Amen.
Churches, listen, churches are dying today because of pride. Pride. Saved people walking in pride, living in pride,
Amen.
Boasting. See, you may not boast about, I saved myself. No, we know not to boast like that. But instead of being thankful, humble, gracious witnesses, we have an attitude about how I'm saved and I'm glad I'm saved and I'm glad I don't have to go to hell. Well, what about everybody else?
Yeah, well.
What about God's will for you? Because this takes me right to my next point. You see, God's grace saves a man from all boasting. A born-again believer cannot be comfortable in his pride. Because listen, last point here, we're done. Because God's grace has saved me for a purpose.
Amen.
Verse 10, for we are His workmanship. His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Notice, unto good works. which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Walking in them means that's every day of my life. I'm living, I'm walking in what? In good works. God's works. And then the very next verse says, right? Wherefore, remember.
Amen.
And notice what I want to read these verses to you and we'll be done. Wherefore, remember. He goes right back to verse 2. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, grace, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You see how he goes right back to the beginning of the chapter? Because he knows, listen to me, if we don't remember who we are without Christ, we'll get boastful.
Amen.
And we'll let self run our lives. The self will, the self desires, again, going back to the flesh, he goes right back to it, because if we're not careful, we'll let ourselves run our lives. Our desires, our ambitions, our goals, our wishes, our vision for ourselves and our lives. And God says, listen, that is the worst thing you could do. All that is pride.
Amen.
Remember the parentheses in verse 5. By grace, you're saved. And God even smiles there.
Amen.
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 And then he says in verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, but it's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man, God says, no man has any right to boast. Remember God's grace this weekend. It's the only reason we have a country. It's the only reason we have a reason to be thankful. Hey, we get to go out tomorrow, Lord willing, get a day off and probably eat too much and have a good time with our families and maybe even get a nap. Wow. Like rest a little bit. I don't know, maybe. But either way, whatever you want to do, amen, if you get a chance to do it, it's because of God's grace.
Amen.
If you get a chance to see your children smile and spend some time with your wife or husband and get a chance to be around people that love you and just get a chance to relax a little bit, we'll be out at the park tomorrow. If you want to come, amen, you probably want to see us. But anyway, whatever you get to do, if you get a chance to do something you want to do, it's because of God's grace.
Amen.
Remember God's grace this weekend. It's the only reason we're saved. He saved us from certain death, certain death. But now he's given us everlasting, permanent, eternal life. Amen. Exceeding riches. I'm looking forward to what he's going to show us one day. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love, Lord.